In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure that many of you here this morning are aware of the fact that the second half of this passage, which you just heard from 2 Timothy, is used as part of the ordination rite. I have heard it many times, and even though I've preached at several ordinations, I've never used it. Maybe it's because of the itching ears part of Paul's letter to Timothy, that those words, itching ears, that give me the creeps. In other words, I'm ashamed that my ears itch from time to time because they want to be scratched by words that allow my own selfish desires. I also don't like suffering. So why would I subject myself or anyone to the fact that Christians, especially those who are leaders, might endure hardship? What surprises me, though, is that the first part of this reading from 2 Timothy is not part of the ordination rite. And what Paul says there seems equally, if not more, important. Listen to those words again. Paul says to Timothy and to us, "Continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from childhood that you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Paul sounds almost like a sports coach who is encouraging his or her team at halftime. Whether the team is winning or losing is not important. What most coaches say to their teams is, remember what you've learned, continue to play hard. In other words, don't give up. Now, I don't know about you, but I often watch the pregame shows of major sporting events. It's fun to see how the sports commentators view the possible outcomes. Those commentators first identify the strengths of their various teams. They'll speculate on what they think the teams will need to do to win. They also point out the weaknesses that each team has. The same thing happens after games by coaches. They will analyze why their team has won or lost. No turnovers or too many. No penalties or too many. Good or bad pitching, and so on. Any good coach or manager does this. Whatever the case, the coaches want to keep winning or minimize their team's losses. But again, the most important message that a team needs to hear is, don't give up. The easiest way to lose is to give up. And when Paul says to Timothy, continue in what you've learned and believed, he is saying, don't give up. Don't give up in your battle against Satan. With Christ, you can and you will win. The easiest way to lose in anything is to give up. If the apostles had given up at the first sign of opposition, the church would have floundered while they hid themselves as cowards. If Paul had given up on his missionary efforts as soon as he encountered difficulty, untold numbers of people and communities would not have heard the good news of how Christ lived and died and rose again, and Christianity would have lost. In short, giving up is the easiest, quickest way to lose, and not giving up is the basic key to victory. That also holds true for you students. As you face difficulties or seem overburdened by your classwork or finances or stresses in your family or personal lives, just think of the losses the church will suffer if you give in to those pressures. Just think of the losses the church has suffered over time, simply because we, her members, have given up on those areas where Paul urges us to persevere in the proclamation of the gospel, in patient teaching, in the equipping of people for mission and ministry. The greatest key to victory in anything, in sports, in the work of the church, you name it, is simply not to give up. And how does that happen? By our receiving what God in His grace and mercy has to offer us in our faith in Christ. So not giving up, or shall I say persistence, is not something that we achieve. It's something that God gives to us. And what's so wonderful about this gift, that it has a way of helping us sort out what is important and not important in our living. Or taking it one step further, this gift helps us see who and what we are in relationship to Christ and His church. You know, the gift of persistence or not giving up is like water. You can't walk on water because water gives way. Rather than fight back, water just gets out of the way and down you go or sink. Almost anything is strong enough or powerful enough to make water retreat. That's why rivers and streams seldom go in a straight line. They're always going around obstacles rather than through them. Floods and hurricanes are the obvious exceptions. And yet, despite this wimpish quality, water always seems to get where it wants to go. Ask any homeowner who has difficulty with a leaking roof or a leaking basement, and they will tell you how difficult it is to find and stop even the smallest of leaks. All you have to do is look at the cliffs along the Mississippi River to see that ultimately it is water that prevails even over the rocky cliffs. It's persistence, not might, that gives water the quality of prevailing even over the toughest of obstacles. And it is the gift of our faith in Christ that ultimately helps us persistently overcome all the obstacles that this life can throw at us. That faith prevails even over the toughest of obstacles. And that's why this morning I join Paul in urging you, as he did Timothy, to continue to be persistent in what you have learned. Yes, to firmly believe that the God who has loved us in Christ Jesus can be counted on, yes, undeniably, to act graciously toward us in whatever circumstances we might find ourselves. The victory over all that would defeat us is not something we win. It's something that Christ wins for us because He does not give up on us. May His love for us move us to say in return, "You can count on us, Lord. Help us to give ourselves over to You. Help us to discover the joy and the excitement that life with You brings." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.